In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, mate.
What's up?
Do you like doing this podcast?
This one?
Yeah.
I prefer the other ones, though,
What's the other ones you
do? A bit more highbrow than this trash.
What's the other ones you do?
I think my grandma started listening.
Did she?
Yeah. I'm quite worried about that.
Why?
Well, you know, we talk about the sordid details of our life.
This is a podcast where nothing is off limits.
Do you believe in astrology?
I was going to say exactly the same thing to you. I swear to God.
That is so weird. It's almost as though we've got an intro podcast talking about astrology.
Well, it's not talking about astrology.
Well, we were.
No, we have a podcast introing a friend of ours who is into astrology.
And as a result, what did we do?
Talk about astrology.
There we go.
It's not a podcast about astrology. Don't confuse our audience.
I said we spoke about it, didn't I?
Well.
Anyway, look, let's not.
Let's not argue before we kick things off.
Let's not get caught up in
that. Thank God we've pre-recorded this one coming up. So otherwise, I can sense a real tension right now.
What are you again? What's your star sign?
Try and guess.
Drunken monkey. That's a Chinese thing, isn't it? That's a Chinese fighting stance.
You're the backstabbing wolf.
Yeah.
That's what you are.
I'm a Gemini, so yeah, two-faced apparently.
You're not two-faced though.
You should hear the shit that I say about you.
You're actually not two-faced at all.
Well, you know, I buck the trend. I'm actually a double Gemini, apparently, so that means I'm double as...
Naughty. I'm a Scorpio.
Ooh, makes sense.
Mm.
Don't know what that means, but it makes sense.
Should I tell you who are Scorpios?
Yep.
Do you know who's born on my birthday?
Who?
Kendall Jenner.
No way.
Yeah? Yeah, and Donald Trump is not born on my birthday.
Too vacuous.
He's born in June, I think. Why the hell did I say Donald Trump? Kendall Jenner, Demi Moore, Bill Nye... Ryan Gosling, Seth MacFarlane, Anna Wintour, Chris Jenner, Jamie Lang's not in there, but I am. Owen Wilson!
Wait, so Chris...
Wow.
Chris Jenner.
Owen Wilson, wait, Tina Turner.
Chris Jenner and Kendall Jenner.
Yeah.
Two Jenners on the...
Two Jenners.
That's interesting.
That is crazy.
Wait, which one's Chris? Is that the mum?
That's the mum.
Oh.
Owen Wilson.
Wow. Wow, and that's you.
Yeah.
You know, I've started now saying, wow. On the podcast.
And your birthday is, do not tell me, it is
well, let's not
June.
Say let's not say it on the podcast.
Why?
People might hack my...
You said this the other day.
They might hack my MSN.
You're on June the 8th.
Nope.
14th. That's it.
I don't want people knowing. I don't.
Who's born on June 14th? There's going to be nobody.
All the gifts and cards will be...
Okay.
You know, it's too much.
You're born... Okay. Born on... Boy George? Gamma, 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 gamelia.
Wow.
Okay, Boy George is...
Is that it? Is it just Boy George?
Kevin McHale. He's a legend. I love Kevin McHale. 14th of June is Donald Trump.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Shut up.
14th of June is Donald Trump.
No, it's not.
What are the chances of that?
No.
That is bizarre.
Me and Donnie.
You and Donald Trump. That is weird. I must have known that before.
We should do a joint birthday.
We're going to look that up. So, yeah, is he born on 14th of June? Yeah, he is.
Wow.
You are so Donald Trump.
Yeah, I'm quite Donny, to be fair. Okay.
Anyway, we have the lovely Keggy Dunlop. on the podcast. Kags is a very old friend of ours, a very old friend of the podcast. She has her podcast, Saturn Returns, if you're fans of that. We have a big, amazing sit-down chat about all the things that are going on in our lives at the moment from a much deeper level. We sit, we're honest, we're authentic, we're real about all of our issues, and it's a really open, amazing, revealing, satisfying, I suppose, podcast for us. I don't know if you felt that way.
I was left wanting more. I wasn't fully satisfied.
Well, when you were listening to it?
When I was listening to it, no, when I was in it.
Okay. It's a great episode. Kags, thank you so much for coming on. Let's intro it.
I'll let you lead.
Kaggy Dunlop on the podcast. Enjoy. Okay, come on, team. What's happened to us?
I feel quite emotional.
Oh, do you? God.
Are we going to have tears today?
I don't know. It's a possibility. Okay, they're sort of there. Okay. Depends what we kind of
let's
discuss,
all have a cry. A Monday cry.
Could go as well, so don't worry. So if you cry, I'll cry with you.
I'm just going to laugh at both of you.
Making a deal.
Yeah, I promise you I'll make a deal with you. If you cry, okay. I'll cry as well. Why are you feeling emotional?
I don't know. That's the thing. I think sometimes we just have days when we're more emotional than others.
The moon. The moon was.
The
moon was.
The full moon was quite full on, wasn't it?
It was a big one.
Wait, when was the full moon?
Did you not see it? That big old white thing outside your window?
I didn't look at it. Wait, was it last night?
It was on Saturday. Was it or Friday?
Oh my God. Okay,
one of the days.
Okay, this podcast is about being truthful, right? So it's an honest podcast. Right, you can move it, Kag, if you want. You can just do it. Yeah, there you go. Go on, move
it. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, hello.
There you go.
Yeah, lean back, girl. There you go.
Now I'm in therapy.
Lean back. This podcast is about nothing off limits. I said this on the bonus episode. Something kicked in with me the other day. Maybe when the full moon happened, where suddenly anxiety went inside of me. And I was like, what the hell? Suddenly felt anxious.
Does Botox give you that? do needles give you
the perfect person to go to?
He just laughs at it. I can literally say to him,
I'm trying to bring light on quite clearly a very, very sad situation.
All right, so. I'm going to say it to you. I feel a bit anxious. What are you going to say about it? Go on.
Give you a little stroke on the knee there.
You even tell me.
You'll be all right. Just have your cornflakes. You'll be fine.
This actually is something that I kind of wanted to speak about because I've been thinking a lot recently about. Obviously, with the podcast that I'm doing and stuff, it's quite a heavy female audience. And the nature of the show is talking a lot about, you know, feelings and things we're experiencing. And I've just been thinking a lot about where is that space for men?
Doesn't exist. It's not here, that's for sure.
You'll be fine.
it's interesting you say that. Because I spoke to a guy the other day. And I think I said this before, but I was talking to him about guys opening up. And I said, do you know what? We need to be in a situation where guys open up more. And he said, Jamie, it's so easy saying that. What's different is saying that you, right now, Jamie, you saying, oh, you've got depression, you've got anxiety, you've got insomnia, you've got relationship OCD, you've got relationship issues, whatever it is. And I went, he said, labeling on yourself is so much harder than just saying, well, let's open up a space. Mm. Anyone can say, let's open up a space. To the point where I said this again on a bonus episode with Sophie, because I was feeling a certain way. I was starting arguments with her and she was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Mm. And I said, do you know what, Sophie, to be really honest with you, I just been feeling a little funky and I don't know why. And I've been embarrassed about telling you. Yeah. So I've been fighting with you because I want you to ask me what the matter is so I have an excuse to tell you. Because I can't communicate. Because I find it too awkward. I find it embarrassed talk about it.
It's so socialized into men that the only kind of acceptable emotion to go to is anger. So a lot of the time men will get angry, but there's so much more going on beneath the surface.
So much more.
This is what you said.
Open up,
You
buddy.
Said you get angry. Well, yeah. I think it's about unpackaging it and almost like talking about it like you just did from A to Z, like what you're feeling and why you're doing what you're doing. And then you can kind of like get over it, I guess.
I don't know. I think it's January, February is the Monday, Tuesday of the week. And I feel like it's...
Of the season.
Of the season, right? It is 100%. It's the Monday, the Tuesday. So January, but January also almost isn't as bad. February's all bad
as Tuesday.
As Tuesday, it's not. It's not because Monday you're like, oh, I'm still a little bit hungover. Yeah, I did have this the other day where I went out on a Saturday. I can't drink anymore. I've decided, and I went out on the Saturday night, and I woke up in the morning, and I was like, I was sleeping. I had made the sofa pillows as a duvet.
What?
I was underneath the pillows on the sofa.
I quite like doing that sometimes.
No, but
you do have a great sofa.
Oh, I have the best sofa. But I don't know. I just, at the moment, funkiness is in the air. But you're good at these things. So you channel your soul much better than most people. So
I don't know if that's necessary.
I think you do. I would say, because you understand yourself pretty well.
Yeah, but I definitely, you know, like everybody, I repeat the same patterns. And like you say, when things come up, sometimes I'll behave in a way that I'm not aware of at the time. And then only on reflection, I'm like, okay, maybe that's what was going on. So a big thing at the moment that's coming up for me that I'm thinking a lot about is, you know, owning our stories and kind of finding out where they came from, addressing our negative, toxic patterns of behavior. And I think that that's just a constant process of unearthing.
Come on.
It's really tiring.
No, it is, but to explain, so what is your toxic repetition that you do?
Aren't there a few?
Okay.
But I guess one that was definitely coming up more over the Christmas period was, and I never really recognized this in myself because I'm quite a messy person. I never thought I was a perfectionist because I associate perfectionists with people that have very immaculate bedrooms. But actually perfectionism was driving me in a way that was becoming really toxic, and I think it had been there for quite a large portion of my life.
Perfectionist in work?
No such thing as perfect.
Well, exactly. And when you're striving for something that's actually unachievable, what would happen? I realized the cycle of behavior was like, I felt like I needed to be perfect. And just to kind of go to like the core of it, I think that we are all have, a lot of us suffer from this belief that we are unworthy, not lovable, and not enough. Or mm-hmm. all of the three. And that then manifests in different ways and different behaviors. And it can also be, you know, perfectionism is something that's socially not only accepted, but celebrated.
Mm.
But if the underlying belief is that, you know, you're not enough or you're not lovable as you are, then that becomes a very toxic drive.
Mm.
And so I think it's just been unpacking that, where it stems from. And also because it's something that's unattainable, you then kind of sabotage yourself along the way, and that creates a pattern. So recognizing those kind of things. Girls, we're going in this morning.
We're only touching the sides at the moment. We're going in.
I'm now picturing.
My turn. Ask me. Ask me. Go on, ask me.
I feel terrible.
Okay, Jamie.
God, I feel awful.
To us.
Okay, well, you want to hear, okay, we're going to do a little session here. We're going to go round the table. So you've told yours. Mitt, we're going to then go to you. This is going to be hilarious. You
don't come to mine. Me.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I was just picturing your bedroom when you're talking about that, because you're saying how, like, you just.
That's you actually had.
Get out.
Because you're like, there's no such thing as perfection. You go into a room and it's literally like a hoarder's room. Like, I think you've taken it a little bit too far. No, but honestly, like, I'm just so zen now. Fucking stinks in
it. Okay, what are my bad things that I do?
We've only got an hour. It's been taking a long time.
Bad things that I do. I drive myself. Again, perfection.
You can't drive.
Okay, yeah. The hardest fucking
sorry.
Road in this.
Sorry,
we're trying to open
sorry.
Up on this.
Sorry,
speak.
Sorry.
No,
sorry.
Don't worry. Just keep jabbing. Keep jabbing. Why don't you?
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get you back one day. That's so.
This is your other
thing. Take a deep breath.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, we're back in the room.
Don't want to smell my microphone.
Oh my god! It's like distortion on there.
You're like, whoa.
Oh, the fuck was that? Okay, so what do I do to myself that is bad? This is a really interesting subject. I've never spoken about this in the podcast, so I love this. I never let myself rest. This is it. So I ever. So typically with someone who, because I think we all work hard, right? We all three of us here, we work hard. But when you typically work, the reason why people, I think, wore suits to work, and why wearing suits to work is a good thing, or wearing uniform to go to school is a good thing, because it separates your work and home life. So when you put on your suit or you put on your uniform in the morning, you go to your work and you realize you're doing work, And then when you come home, you take it off. You're there in relaxing mode. So you have a complete separation. Mm-hmm. Problem with me, I don't have that. So I podcast, I have candy kittens, I have whatever's going on. And so I'm constantly working. Then when I come home, I sit on social media. What can I do on social media to get the validation or whatever I need? So all the time. So there's no rest. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is I go into bed, have loads of sex. Oh, I get four blowjobs.
On your own.
Yeah. In my own head.
It's quite a talent you got there.
And then
wake up and repeat.
Well, I firstly sit on my phone, so I watch YouTube videos. Then I fall asleep because I'm tired. Mm-hmm. And also by that point, I've sort of engaged with my partner, but like not that much. We kind of just, you know, it's not passing ships at all. We very much love each other, but there's not that sort of
time carved out.
Then you fall asleep and you wake up the next morning, repeat. Mm. And almost falling asleep is like a nap.
Yeah, well, you're falling asleep because you're exhausted.
Yeah.
Mm. What would you, if you had to think about it now, what would you say the underlying thing beneath that is?
Because I'm so worried that if I stop, I'm going to be left behind. Yeah, I'm going to be disappear. Everything's going to go. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so concerned that things are going to just disappear and going to stop. That oh my God, if I don't do,
yeah,
then
keep spinning the plates.
Completely. And then what was interesting when lockdown happened is everything did stop, but nothing disappeared. But I've now forgotten that. Mm. And so there's that, which is really bad. And I'm not kind to myself. Mm. My inner voice is terrible. To the point where, okay, you're not doing this, you're not doing imposter syndrome. You know,
you have an inner voice that has a particular accent. Don't
you? Yeah,
we spoke about this in the first episode. Really? What does he sound like?
Have you drunk cider again?
He's not West Country. That's mine.
Why don't you brush your teeth this morning?
Your breath stinks. You can't get married a breath like that.
Does it actually have an accent?
Mine is weirdly West Country, I think. Actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold on, we're not onto you yet. Hold on.
We're coming to you.
I'm hard. It's going to be very short.
No, it's not going to be short, and you're going to open up on this occasion.
You should open your arms, Alex.
Yeah. Stop. Yeah. Open. He's sitting cross-eyed.
He's like, where's the exit?
So we're going to get into you. So not kind to myself, which a lot of people can relate to, because I feel like I'm going to be forgotten and left behind. And the other one is I'm still concerned so much what people think of me. Mm. So I had this the other day. I said it on our bonus episode. I messaged some guy who I hadn't spoken to in 6 years because he flashed up on my timeline. I said, so I messaged him. He didn't reply. And I went, I've obviously done something wrong to him. It's 6 years ago. Why on earth would he reply? But in my head, I create a narrative that is negative towards me. Again, it's that inner voice. Those are the things that lead you down the wrong path. Mm. And it's the typical thing that if you were going to say to, if I was going to say to you, you were going to say to me, I feel this and this, I would say to you truthfully on my heart, I'd say, you're incredible, you're amazing, you're beautiful, you're talented, God, you know, so many people, you know, if your name was in a bucket, anyone would want to grab it. But in your inner voice, you go, no, negative.
Exactly.
And I'm the same.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mitt, your turn. Come on, buddy. Round the circle.
Have you seen the wind outside this one? God, it's nearly,
open up,
nearly lost my
bastard.
Toupee earlier. I mean, I can sort of relate with a lot of the stuff that you said. I mean, but during lockdown, I became a little bit of a spiritualist in certain ways and kind of learnt different methods and different techniques that are kind of very personal to myself, but in how to deal, I think it, like, touching on what you said, those thoughts and the negatives and the emotions that you feel, I think the mistake a lot of people think is that if you do certain things, they're just going to go away and you're going to live in this like blissful existence where nothing ever goes wrong. But what actually happens is those things do continue to happen. But if you, there's certain things that you can learn and do, manage, which means that you can just manage it. And actually it's a very brief emotion. It's a very brief thought. And you kind of like go, oh, I actually recognize that. And you let it pass and you let it go.
Rather than it kind of getting its hooks in and taking
you
down.
And it would last for a week and it would lead me to do bad things and I become, you know, a worse
person.
Give
me an example though.
I guess one of the things I've recently noticed is comparison and worrying about what people think. And
huge one.
Yeah, because I think, you know, we spend so much of our lives, and I sort of start to think that everything's a bit of a competition and, you know, the things that I do need to match up to this. And then, but now I recognize it and go, that's just kind of bollocks, really. You just need to focus on yourself and do everything from like a really genuine place. Mm. Like, do the stuff that you really want to do, because that will make you the happiest and, you know, it will get you to where you want to be. And then you will be better than everyone else anyway, so then you won't have any.
I saw this quote where they said, it was like an Instagram quote or whatever.
That's
it was.
Where you get most of your deep prolific.
No, it's not.
It's either off TikTok or.
No, I just heard this quote and it said, what did it say? The best quote I've ever heard is, if it makes you happy, it doesn't need to make sense. And I think that's such a cool thing. It's so true because.
I don't get it. but it makes me happy. So I fucking love that. That's really good. Well,
I think what it boils down to, like, we are living in it's a culture of comparison, you know?
Yes.
Like never before. When we were younger, we kind of had our peers and the people we were at school with and we'd compare to them and maybe be a bit competitive. Now we have, everyone has the entire world. Like, you go on your phone first thing in the morning and you're comparing yourself before it's even, you know, 7:30 to hundreds of people on the internet that you just didn't know existed before. That in itself warps your own sense of identity and what success means to you. Mm. And how can you like navigate that space when you are flooded with all this information all the time and constantly feeling like you're falling short? Because there's always going to be someone that has more, that's doing it a little bit better. And like, look, for example, you're doing so many different things. You're so successful and yet you're still feeling this sense of not enoughness. Like, what else? What else do I need to be doing? Like, who else do I need to be pleasing? Like, where else do I need to be? And it just becomes
his girlfriend
exhausting. What?
Just shouted my girlfriend. Your girlfriend. I totally agree with you, Kags. And it's a real, I think also there's a kind of really odd male thing in there as well, where guys definitely feel like they have to compare themselves. It's weird. I had this. So at school, I was a great sportsman.
Every podcast.
Yeah, still hold the javelin record. I was a really good sportsman. And then university was like an odd place to like figure yourself out. But then I went and joined Made in Chelsea. And so then you do Made in Chelsea. And, you know, whether or not it was considered lame or whatever it was kind of a moment where you were, more people were interested in you. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is you go, when you, that sort of,
you want to sustain that.
You want to sustain that. So you're like, okay, what can make me interesting now? What can make me stand out from the crowd?
Yeah.
And the pond is freaking huge.
But
so how do you stand out?
I think something like Made in Chelsea, when that comes quite early, and what, you were like 21?
Yeah, 20. You were younger than, you were 20.
I think I was 20, yeah.
Dude.
I think, no, actually I was 21, but still, you're still figuring out who you are and like how you want to show up in the world. And when something like that happens quite in those quite formative years, it does set like a, I mean, how do you sustain that kind of growth? you know, when something kind of explodes over, and your perception of self kind of then exists in an entity outside of you, you know, the version of you that's on TV that the newspapers are talking about, and then you're still trying to figure out who you are inside, but then you've got this thing that's almost bigger than that.
Yeah, it's totally unnatural, really.
It's totally unnatural. Yeah,
it is mad.
But I think that we live in this existence, right? God, I love this. God, this is just great. We live in this existence where we demand and desire the viral hit, whether that's on TikTok or a song or a podcast or an Instagram post. We want that we want that millionth view or millionth straight away. But actually, that's the worst thing you can go after. Because when you have something like that quickly, the only way is down. You want a slow growth, whether it's a brand, a business, an individual brand, or a relationship, right? We've all been in those relationships where it's like, oh my God, I love you.
And it crashes into
and then it crashes and burns. You need to have that growth.
What comes easy won't last, and what lasts won't come easy. It's so true.
Wait, say that again.
That's a good
one. What's easy won't last, and what lasts won't come easy. And I think doing something like, look, we were very young, but doing something like reality TV that is epitomizes that instant success and instant gratification that we're all experiencing on our own scales at the moment because of the nature of wanting viral success and like getting that million stream or whatever it might be. But when we're chasing that, it's like, it's kind of an addiction in itself. It's chasing that dopamine, that serotonin hit of like when you're gambling, you just want to get that quick fix. And then it spikes and then it drops back down. Then you want another spike. But I think we've been so conditioned to think that that is normal and that is success.
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, modern society, we have, as you say, been so conditioned all because of the people that are making so much money. They're basically just attacking like our base human instincts, right? And they're taking it to the complete next level.
Yeah.
Like,
but there was something so, this is what, but my dad, actually not my dad, my mum always said to me, someone said to me, I don't know who it was, the best days of your life are right now when I was a kid. And I was like, surely that can't be true. There's no way that, and they said, yeah, your school days, the best days of your life. And now what I understand by that is it's that Peter Pan syndrome, right? Which is life is about responsibilities. And we actually push ourselves to, and responsibility is a good thing. Like they are a good thing because it puts us like in a certain way and stuff like that. But as a child, we don't have any responsibilities. We have to worry about dying. Like literally that's it. But as we get older, we give ourselves responsibilities, children, marriage, relationships, mortgages, rent, businesses, whatever it may be. And I think that's what makes us struggle a lot because we keep going with these responsibilities all the time. And there's a part of me which realizes, God, I wish I realized how fun it was when we were younger. And I did realize how fun it was, but sometimes I basically now I forget to live in the present as much.
I think there's a way to regain that childlike sense of mind.
How do we do this?
It just takes a hell of a lot of work. You have to strip away, how old are you, 40, 41 years? 41 years of ego. So
I
get what he's saying. Like I was listening to something on the way here and I realized like, my ego, the ego is the thing that tells you you have to be doing all these busy, busy things and you don't have time to sit down and meditate or you don't have time to like carve out in the day to spend with your partner. It's like the thing that's telling you you need to be doing 1,000 things, like the monkey mind. Yeah. So we're all driven by, it's not like you're egotistical. It's just we are driven by our ego most of the time.
The way I like to think about it, like, so when you're born, right, you have, there's no ego, right? And then over 41 years, you put layer upon layer upon layer. And so you're viewing through your eyes through 41 layers or however many layers. So the world you see is a completely distorted version of what's actually there. So if you can strip those back and go back to, you know, age one, where you see the world in such a like beautiful and amazing way, then that's amazing. Okay. Very hard to do.
Yeah, but how do we do that?
Well, I think that is the whole process. You've completely nailed it. It's like, we're not having to learn, we're having to unlearn. And I think the longer you go through life, whether it's, you know, 41 years, however long, then
we're all the same age. Can we just put it out there to everyone who's listening? We're all the same age.
I think now's a great age to do it. I think I've been having conversations with...
Better late than never.
Well, it's not that late, but imagine coming to these realizations when you're 70. Do you know what I mean?
And some people do.
But that's kind of irrelevant. I think it is about realizing that it's our innate kind of given right to be in love, to feel enough, to feel worthy. We're not born feeling not those things. We just learn and then build up these conditions and these belief systems that actually become detrimental to our happiness. So it's just about, I think, reconnecting with self and finding whatever tools or practices that allow you to do that.
I think there's also something with blueprints, right?
You spoke about that when you came on Saturn Returns.
So Kags has her podcast, Saturn Returns. If you haven't listened to it, go and listen to it. It is phenomenal. It's amazing. And we've spoken before on the podcast what it's about, but it's Kags can explain it a bit more. But I came on, maybe I did speak about blueprints. My big thing that I had to realize is that throughout, when I we're conditioned to have blueprints as kids, typically, which is, okay, we got to grow up. We have the white picket fence. We have the family. We have the dog. Mm. We get to go on a skiing holiday. We get to do this and that. You know, this is what my blueprint was.
Totally. And especially then, a lot of it revolves around by 30. Think how many conversations were like, oh, if I'm not married by 30, let's marry each other. Do you know what I mean? It's like all these things. Mm. And then you get to that point, but you really question why.
Yes.
And I think at this age, when so many people are doing those things because that's what their blueprint was or what they were told to do, and then kind of doing them and being like, I don't know if I actually wanted that.
Wanted to do
that. But
don't
really want to admit it because they've done it.
Yes.
And then you kind of get in this, I don't know, sticky situation with yourself.
You completely. And also, which I didn't realize, right? I thought, okay, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to have it figured out.
Mm.
By the time I was 30, I only just got to know myself.
Yeah.
Like I didn't know anything about me. I was my ones to tens. My ones to tens was like,
you finally learned to count from one to ten.
For me, right, my ones to tens was like, you know, knowing who mum and dad were and like, you know, learning how to spell ing and just like basically just fundamental things like, okay, this is red and yellow and all that stuff. 10 to 20 was like understanding, oh, there's opposite sex. And oh, and it was like becoming more sexual in certain ways and understanding myself in the ways, oh, I can kiss this girl and oh, I like this girl. And that you sort of figure yourself out there. 20s is like where you figure out what you kind of want to do in life.
And what you don't.
And what you don't. And that's more important. Mm. Figuring out, most people try to go out there, and I always say this, the greatest advantage I had was figuring out what I didn't want to do rather than what I did want to do. And the way I was able to do that is because I had a roof over my head and I had food on the table so I could figure out what I didn't want to do. Most people try and find out what they want to do rather than what they don't want to do.
Mm.
So that happened there. And then 30s, you go, okay, fine, this is hopefully what I want to do because I think I'm right. And then your life begins.
Yeah.
But our blueprint is we're meant to be married and kids and all this, but I didn't fucking know what was going on.
Can I ask, with when you started figuring out what you didn't want to do, did you carry any shame about that in towards your late 20s?
I don't think so. I think I was really quite lucky because I couldn't have done anything else than doing what I'm doing. So I just couldn't do it.
I think a lot of people feel a lot of shame around not figuring it all out by the time they're 30, and then they can't communicate about it because you also always feel like everyone's got it all figured out and you're the only one that wasn't sent the sort of handbook of life.
Which is total nonsense.
That's one of the things that does, or used to bother me a lot is like...
Yes, going, Buddha.
Kag is chairing the meeting.
He said he was going to get me back. Yeah, I think we need to have a bit of a session together, Jay. I've now totally forgotten what the fuck I was talking about, you arsehole.
That's what crack does.
No, anyway, the thing that used to bother me a lot was I would try and do so many different things because I would go, oh, what if that's the one that, you know, I become really good at and I become really happy at? And I almost was like forcing myself to do all this stuff. And in doing so, it was actually quite shit, all of it, because it's too much. So now I kind of sit back and I kind of like let the universe like do its thing. And actually, it's pretty fucking good. Like being calm and just letting things happen.
Surrendering a little bit.
Yeah, it is surrendering.
Kag, are you good at surrendering things?
It's something I have to practice, not always. I definitely think my 20s were... I was trying to control everything so much and I felt a lot of shame for things that didn't pan out the way I hoped they would. And just the more I tried to control, the more things fell apart.
What are those things?
I think it was definitely, you know, and that's in essence, the whole point of Saturn Returns is like when you turn 29, Saturn is supposed to bring about this sort of cosmic coming of age. But at the time, I didn't really realize what was happening. And whether you believe in astrology or not, it's definitely a pivotal moment in someone's life where perhaps the relationship they were in is not the one that they thought it was going to be, their kind of marriage and all those things were going to happen with, or their career isn't going the way they hoped. Or it might be all of those things happening at the same time. But I think they feel really personal individuals. So you don't really know how to speak about them because you just kind of look at people that seem to have those things figured out. And I guess in a way it was kind of all of those things for me. I felt very much like I don't entirely know what direction I'm going in. I don't, you know, I was, yeah, in terms of relationship, there was so much I had to navigate around that in terms of addressing like myself first before I could fully be in a healthy relationship. Mm. And so it was just a lot. And I think a massive component of that was that I felt alone in it. And I don't think that that's necessary because I think these thoughts and feelings are all actually very common, but we don't share them enough.
I love that. That's freaking great. I really like that. On that note, we're going to have to end for part one. We're going to speak more about your podcast. We're going to talk about your book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
All right.
You can talk about that?
I think so.
Well, okay.
Well, we are now.
Okay, we are now. And loads more things. Guys, we'll see you back in part two.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.